Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant, continuing our series on the biblical foundation of the estate planning life cycle. And Paul, yeah, you're continuing this look at all of these steps. You've done a previous study on the steps, but you want to expound on the biblical foundations this time.
Yeah, our previous discussions were more about the legal side, the practical side, kind of the attorney side of my life. And, of course, you can go to our website, legacyandfaith.com, and find that entire series back there. I really do encourage you to head over to the website, or actually, even on KCIS, you have all of the podcasts uploaded on your system. As a matter of fact, some people I run into and talk to about the show, they say it's actually easier to get to your website than it is mine. So I don't know what that means. But
Well, people know that website
easier. Yeah, that is
KCISradio.com.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so so all the podcasts are on both of our websites. And that's really the practical approach. So I wanted to come back and go through the cycle again, the estate planning life cycle. It's really important because most people don't even know that there is a life cycle to estate planning. But beyond that, as believers, I want us to take a journey also about the biblical foundation of ensuring that your family is taken care of, the biblical foundation of ensuring that you're actually doing a plan and that this isn't just a good idea. It's actually a biblical idea. It's actually a mandate biblically. And so I wanted to look through some of those things. And so we started this series, this new series on the biblical foundation with exploration, and with which means that we need to gain wisdom. And we went through a lot of different proverbs. As a matter of fact, we'll get back into some proverbs today as well. But Proverbs is loaded up with information about find wisdom and hold on to wisdom and seek after it because it is your life. And so I'm not going to go back through that show, but head back to the podcast. Listen to getting wisdom is so critical, so important. As a matter of fact, let me even take just one quick second. I actually listened to my own show. So this Saturday, I was listening to the show, and we were talking about that first section of wisdom. And I'm glad I listened to my own show because I want to hear how things are coming off. I say things very naturally, but I'm not sure sometimes how it comes back through the radio when people don't know me all that well, even though some of the listeners may feel that they know me now. So that's a really nice thing. When people walk into the office or they meet me at different events or they call and talk, that's one of the comments I get. Oh, I think I know you so well because this is kind of a one-way street of getting to know me versus me having the opportunity to get to know listeners until they actually come and sit down with us. And so, as I was listening to the show, when we talk about wisdom, I think I came off a little bit strong in saying, look, we need wisdom. You got to come in. This cannot be a do-it-yourself gig, okay? In the multitude of counsel is wisdom, not off on your own researching the internet. But let me say this. I don't know everything. And so I don't want to come across as if I'm the only place where you can find wisdom. As a matter of fact, I've said on previous shows, and I think I've said it repeatedly, which is, look, if I'm not going to be the right attorney for you, if my process isn't right, if my pricing isn't right, whatever the case is, right, if my hairdo isn't right, it's okay. But find wisdom. Find the wisdom that you need for you and your family. Find a different attorney. Find a different man or woman of God that is enacting biblical concepts in their practice to make sure that they can guide you through the proper wisdom for you that you need. So it's okay if you don't use me, but use somebody with wisdom. We need other voices in our life, and that's really the exploration. Get the education. Find that wisdom. And then we went into the engage and create last week, and we left off there, but I want to take that back up a little bit more.
Okay.
I want to take back up a little more of the engage and create. So we talked about Proverbs 16:9, which says that the heart of man devises a plan, but the Lord orders the footsteps therein. So in other words, we're creating plans. So the worst estate plan you can do is the I'm not going to do an estate plan.
Right. Which plan. Is a huge majority of people.
Yeah, and it is a plan.
It's a plan.
Because, and the unfortunate part is that Washington State will tell you exactly what your plan is going to look like. So, therefore, you are defaulting to a plan by not doing a plan. And one of the, I guess, scariest times in our life is if we actually become incapacitated versus just dying. And I've talked about that on previous weeks, which is dying is easy. It's the portion of planning that we need to be engaged in that and prepare for that says, I need help. Because the default plan is that you're just going to allow your family to scurry around when they're already busy, when they already have life plans of their own, responsibilities, and they're just going to have to step in. As a matter of fact, most of us would be really appalled that the that's what we want to happen, that we would want our family to be left with holding the burden of taking care of us. Most people would say absolutely not. But yet, if you don't plan, that will be your default. And that's actually more expensive. We've talked about that, that actually getting the paperwork around you during your lifetime to ensure that proper powers of attorney, access to bank accounts, if we had to sell the home and actually get you to a different place, all of those things are much more difficult and much more costly if we don't have the proper planning in place. So the first big deal is educate yourself. And then step number two is actually engage and do the creation. And so the heart of man devises a plan. That doesn't say that we're just going to let things be, que sera, sera. That's the bad plan. So we need to have a plan. All right. Proverbs 15:22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. And in James 4, it talks about that that we don't know what tomorrow brings. So in James, as I flip there, because I didn't have my Bible open before we started all this, even though I knew I was going there, it says, you know, we today or tomorrow we will go to such a place, is what people say. We'll continue there. We'll buy, we'll sell, we'll get gain. And then James goes on to say, but you don't know where you will be tomorrow. For what is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a short period of time, and then it vanishes away. So the whole thought process that we talked about last week is that we don't know when death will occur. We don't know the day. So we need to be prepared today. We need to be thinking about these things. And then we ended last week with the parable of the rich fool, which is the in Luke 12. The rich fool, everything was about himself. I'm going to. And at the end of it, the Lord says, you fool, everything that you have stored up. Notice how he didn't say everything I gave you, but everything that you stored up, now who's going to spend it? Now who's going to use it because you tried to do all this? So Proverbs 19, verse 21 says, many plans are in man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will be stated. So, in other words, we have a lot of plans. We have a lot of intentions. We have a lot of wants and desires. But until we begin to take action, until we actually put our feet on the ground and take the necessary steps, then they're just good ideas, and good ideas will not eventually produce the right result. And that's really what my heart is. Now, in contrast, when we build our, instead of building our own wealth, Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent, they lead to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes to poverty. So here again, the word is really trying to guide us to say we need to have a plan. We need to use diligence. We need to have something in place that the that people around us, that our own lives can begin to follow. So what does proper planning look like? Well, Proverbs 20:21 says, an inheritance may be hastily gained, but the end shall not be blessed. And If you've listened to my show for any length of time, I talk about this quite a bit, which is most inheritances are spent within 12 months. Now, statistically, it's 18, but six of that is typically probate. So I don't care if it's with 12 months or 18 months. So within 18 months, everything that you've earned in your lifetime, when you hand it off to your kids, it will be completely gone within 18 months.
That's amazing. So, no matter how much it was.
And we've talked about that, which is I have stories of somebody inheriting $1.5 million, 18 months gone, right on cue, right? I mean, just boom, right on the month. Nothing to show for it. It's not like they paid off houses. It's not like they invested it and repositioned it. Anything of this nature, gone, in the wind. Now, I know that as parents, part of the biggest roadblock I have in talking with parents is that our first initial reaction is, well, my kids won't. Yes, they will, because I watch it all the time. And so statistics are on my side to say that all of your kids have to be in the top 10 percentile of managing money, of having the same values that you have, and being able to utilize it for long-term gain. All of your kids have to be within the 10 percentile in order for that to work. See, but we've been created in a way that says, I want to hope in my children's strength, but I'm going to forgive and overlook their weaknesses. And so we tend to over-exaggerate, in other words, our children's strengths. We view them as saying, oh, they're good. Oh, they won't do it. Now, some people are very realistic. They've had children who repetitively and repeatedly, constantly can't find money for nothing in their lifetime, who spend it, who are always asking. Or the obvious one, if you have a child who is unfortunately in addictive behavior. Okay, these are the easy ones. And we have a greater sense of reality towards children who have kind of dug their own hole and can't seem to get out of it. But it's the children who actually have jobs, who are doing okay, who appear to be implementing wisdom with their own money. But that's the difference. That's the difference, is that they've gained their own money little by little. Mm-hmm. And they try to hold on to it and preserve it. And the difference here in Proverbs is that an inheritance will be hastily gained. So what does your child do if they've won the lottery? How fast does the money go versus how much is saved? A very small percentage of it will actually be utilized for long-term purposes, and a majority of it will be used for immediate things, trips, cars. Yes, we can pay off debt just so that they can get back into debt.
Right.
And so it's not paying off debt to stay out of debt. It's paying off debt to get back into debt because they haven't demonstrated, even with their own money, what a good financial planner it would do. And so what makes us think that hastily gained money and far more wealth typically than ever before in their lifetime, that somehow they will magically have financial aptitude? It doesn't work. So we're going to move into break, but we'll come back and we'll kind of finish up this thought process of we have to engage in the creation process so that we can have long-term gain for those that we leave behind.
The Biblical Foundation of Estate Planning this week with Paul Grant, the host of the Legacy and Faith Show. And all of these shows are podcast at your website, and people can also contact you through that.
That's right. Head over to legacyandfaith.com. And a podcast, contact us, additional educational seminars coming up in the near future. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show in just a moment.
This is Paul Grant, the host of the Legacy and Faith Show. We have seen that young adults that are 30 and under are an underserved group for excellent estate planning. That's why we are introducing our Young Adults Foundation program. It is strategically designed to address issues such as growing assets, young families, and more, all at a reduced group rate. You can find more about this opportunity and other programs we offer at legacyandfaith.com. That's legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week with Paul Grant, looking at the biblical foundation of estate planning and kind of wrapping up the engage and create step two. We'll be getting into step three in just a moment. The question came up during the break, Paul, that what about somebody who really doesn't have much of an estate? A lot of people these days feel like they're going to be probably having to work all the way up till when they die almost. And they still want to maybe control at least how they're taken care of. They are going to maybe become what's known as the a ward of the state. Can people like that prepare even?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, my philosophy is that the less you have, the more planning is critical for you. Because we have less room for error. So if I have a 2, 5, 10, or whatever number you want to put out there, it almost doesn't even matter. If they have that many millions of dollars, if they make a financial mistake, they have other wherewithal, other financial wherewithal that they can recover from that financial mistake. But now all of a sudden, if I have $100,000 or $50,000, and that's all I have in life, that one mistake, that financial mistake, could be very, very costly and actually set me up for more harm down the road. So yes, having estate planning around that individual is critical. It may look different than the other people. That's why we need to sit down and actually talk through what are your personal needs, what are your personal family dynamics, so that we can get documentation around you that demonstrates this person is to make financial decisions for me because they're best suited and they know how to conservatively utilize and save my money to make sure it's used for my best interest. This person is the person who's going to make my healthcare decisions. This person makes my end of life decisions. There is so much more about estate planning than just dying. And that's, I even mentioned it right at the beginning of the show, which is that during your lifetime, estate planning is crucial. It's crucial to get estate planning done today because I don't know what tomorrow holds. And so therefore, what if I am having health issues tomorrow that I didn't see coming? And I don't have those documents in store. Now we're spending probably tens of thousands of dollars to get it around you when you can't help yourself versus thousands of dollars when you can. So yes, we absolutely need estate planning regardless of how much you have in your bank account. Everybody needs an estate plan regardless of financial ability. Now, also in this prepare and create stage, I want to take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 for just a little bit. Now, I just want to remind listeners, I didn't write this book. So all I'm doing is I'm just looking at the book and I'm giving its wisdom back to you. And I am simply putting it back into perspective of estate planning. So here we go. Are you ready? So in 1 Timothy chapter 5, Timothy is addressing widows. Now, widows mean that you have lost your husband. And what he is seeing is many widows that are living life without a spouse now. And there's one of two ways that he sees widows running their life. Number one is that in verse 5, that number one, they're being left desolate. And this is the big deal that he is addressing, is that you're leaving your own family desolate. You're not preparing. And there is a repercussion to your lack of preparing when you are no longer here and you are leaving your own spouse and your own family desolate. And so I have to address this. Mm. And so in verse 5, he says, now see that the widow, indeed, who is desolate, they trust God. So that's the first way that a widow can actually walk, which is by faith. They are trusting their Savior to provide and walking that journey of faith. But then he goes on, and in verse 6, he counterplays that and says, see the other example? The other example is a woman who runs after their own flesh. In other words, they're running around in the earthly system, okay? And they're dead even though they're still living, because they're chasing after the ways that the world is doing it instead of following after the things of God. And he says, and in these things, give instruction that we may be blameless, so that the church may be blameless. So what's the instruction? But if you do not provide for your own, and specifically those of your own house, you have denied the faith, and you are worse than an unbeliever. So we're going to tear this scripture apart a little bit, because this is really important. So what is Timothy addressing? He's addressing that there is a lack of planning in the body, and there is a harm that has come to those that are left behind. Okay? So, number one, if you do not provide, so we're in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. If you do not provide for your own, that word provide means to consider in advance, to look out for in advance, and to maintain. There's two root words in the Greek that word provide is created from. The base root word means to be in front of and to think, to be prior to. And then number two is to exercise the mind, to comprehend and to take heed. So it's not just to think about, again, that non-action think about. It's actually the think about that this scripture is talking about is that you consider to get wisdom. You comprehend it, and then it moves you into action, and it moves you into action before anything takes place at all. So that is the word provide. That one word provide means to comprehend and to take action. And actually, when you comprehend, it moves you into motion. As a matter of fact, is that not what James talks about, right? Faith without works mm-hmm. is dead. So in other words, we can have faith, but if it doesn't move us into action, then do we really believe what we have, what we say we do? So 1 Timothy 5:8. So if you have not provided for, if you have not considered and intently began to create for your own. So now, why does he distinguish between, but if you don't provide for your own and specifically of your own house? Because it was a communal living back then. And so your own was really planned for everyone that is under your charge, specifically the oldest children. They were in charge of the whole family atmosphere. But then he distinguishes not just the whole clan, but make sure that your own spouse and your own kids are taken care of. So the responsibility back in that day was to the family at large, and then he narrows it back down to say, and specifically make sure that you are planning for your own house. Make sure that your spouse is taken care of. Because why? Because I don't want them to be wandering the streets like the previous verses. I don't want them struggling for their daily bread and exercising their faith just so that they can survive. That is not what we were created for. Our faith is not to be utilized for our daily bread. It is intentionally to be utilized to bring forth the kingdom of God. And so therefore, this is not the position I want you in. So Timothy is teaching us about really estate planning, believe it or not. It's right here. And so if you do not take these steps, if you do not consider your family, if you do not make a preparation and be able to set them up for a life that is better so that they can stay on target for their calling and their purposes. See, if you leave your family desolate, then it makes those that you leave behind begin to run after the things of the world, taking them off of their course of destiny. And that's why we need to have an estate plan. It keeps our family on course. It keeps them moving forward in destiny so that they don't have to use their entire faith mechanism just for their daily bread. So that word deny means to contradict what your faith is. So again, it's that walking it out in faith. We should be walking out what we believe. And the Lord has called us to plan. As a matter of fact, the last thing that we'll do here today is in Isaiah 38, chapter 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. And the word came to Amos, and it said, "Thus says the Lord." So I want you to, who's talking? God is talking. "Set your house in order, for you shall surely die." Mm-hmm. Is your house in order? God has told us. Timothy has instructed us not to leave something that it behind that is a mess that takes our families off of purpose and vision and kingdom purpose. We need to do estate planning. It's a biblical mandate, in my opinion. So I hope that this has been a useful time. We need to get knowledge and wisdom, but we need to engage in the process.
Okay, people have been listening today, and they know they need to engage and create an estate plan with you. How do they do that, Paul?
Head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. We have podcasts, contact information, and you can also get some of our educational seminars coming up. Legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, another great edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.